Father, we thank you for Martin and for the many gifts that you've given him. And we pray that your spirit would be upon him. And as he preaches for us today, that you would move through him to us, that you would soften and open our hearts to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Rebecca, my daughter, is 18 next Sunday. She is incredibly excited about this. We had a bit of a blip when the new gathering restrictions were announced because she had a reasonably sized 30-person party arranged, which has now had to be spread into three different groups of people on different days. Which I'm sure is just as safe as it should be. If Finn was here, I'm sure he would back me up that three gatherings is safe. But never mind that. Anyway, Rebecca is very excited about turning 18, about all that turning 18 means. I'm not sure she's fully grasped everything about the responsibilities and the accountability and all the things that come with being a grown-up. But she will be able to vote, which she's very pleased about. And probably, disproportionately, she's most pleased about being able to order drinks in a pub. And also, she's very keen to make sure that her mother and I treat her as an adult. She will be able to make all her own decisions and do what she wants. She will be free. What does freedom mean, though, in this context? When she's 18 and a free adult, will we be able to cut her loose? Will we push her out of the front door on Monday morning? Bye-bye, off you go. You're on your own now. Free and independent, just how you wanted. She can fend for herself. And Daniel, my son, can have her bedroom. No. Let's be honest. She may well be an adult, but we will still be her parents. And we will continue to be her parents for the rest of all our lives. In the passages we heard from Exodus, and thank you so much, Alison, for reading them all so well. There was a lot of them. The people of Israel had been set free from slavery in Egypt. They were free. So what happened next? Well, what they did not do is immediately enjoy their freedom. Their right to self-determination and liberty was not a lot of fun. They lacked shelter and security, and they lacked water and food. And having been living as slaves for generations, they expected these things to be provided for them. These lacks were imprisoning them to a worse degree, they thought, than had their slavery in Egypt. It was true that they were no longer enslaved by Pharaoh, but they were now enslaved by their own limited capabilities and means. They had been freed from one nightmare into another. And for many, it may have seemed to be an out of the frying pan into the fire situation. My dad, bless him, used to get quite cross when people on television, typically politicians, talked dismissively about the nanny state. "What do you want instead?" he would ask the television. "A callous, uncaring state? What's wrong with a nanny state?" Despite the rhetoric, no one really wants a state that does not care about its people. I don't want to get into, however, the philosophy and politics of freedom. I did have a look at it. There's an awful lot of stuff to get your head around. I want instead to talk about the reality of the freedom that we are offered through Christ. However capable and self-assured we are, freedom to rely on ourselves is not a real freedom. We are always imprisoned by our own limitations and faults, and by the limitations and dangers of the world around us. But who the Son sets free is free indeed. When we become Christians, we can often feel like the people of Israel. When we were ruled by sin, we did not really see the alternative. We were often in pain, and we did not know why we were in pain, but we were somehow comfortable in our own ignorance. We could fool ourselves, like Adam and Eve, that we were not naked and vulnerable. But once God reached inside and touched our hearts, and we really saw that sin was not the way forward, we really saw ourselves, and we saw that the sin was wrecking us and our relationship with God, then we could not help but feel trapped by it. We know we need to change, but we know also that we cannot do it ourselves. Thankfully, at the point we realize this situation, we also find Christ is there with us. We do not need to do it ourselves. He has done it. He has done it all. Christianity is the ultimate contradiction to self-improvement philosophies. All those books, beliefs, even religions that are concentrated on improving yourself and getting yourself better. The contradiction is Christianity. It has all been done for us by Christ. For the people of Israel and for us, we find ourselves where we don't need to do it for ourselves. God does not push us into freedom. He does not push us out of the front door. He leads us into freedom. And this is the key point of my sermon, my talk today. God leads us into freedom. Now, in the Exodus passage, and I hope you find some of those things quite funny, I do, the people of Israel are quite funny. It starts when they reach the Red Sea. Behind them, they see the pursuing Egyptian army marching closer, and in front of them is a sea. There is no way out. And they turn on Moses. What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. And God responds to their complaints, to their panic, in a truly emphatic way. Probably one of the most emphatic miracles in the Bible. Opening the sea before Moses. If you look at the Red Sea on the map, it's a pretty big sea. It is not a small river. It is a big sea. Opening the sea before Moses and allowing his people to cross safely, then releasing the waters once more and annihilating the Egyptian army. It is really hard to imagine the scale of something like that. And I think it makes God's protection pretty clear. However, a mere 3 days later, the people were traveling through the desert of Shur, and they had found only bitter, undrinkable water. What are we to drink? The people grumbled to Moses. And again, God responds, this time with a simple piece of wood that Moses throws into the bitter water to make it drinkable. Another 6 weeks goes by before the people of Israel start grumbling again. The whole community, it says, the whole of the people of Israel, which must have been a few thousand, if not tens of thousands of people, all turning on poor old Moses and Aaron. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. It is easy to smile, especially when you put those stories together and realize quite how little time there was between each of the things that God did before the people lost faith again and again. It is easy to smile when we read about the constant grumbling. Even the word grumbling is a very, very common word in this passage. The phrase, I think it's where it says, those who grumble can come to the Lord, or something similar. I love that. That's me. Because sitting here looking back, we may well feel complacent about our time. I know I do, but I know I also grumble to God a lot. And as COVID has taken over our lives, I find I've grumbled more and more. At least once every other day, I reckon, and some days more than once. I grumble to God about something I think I need. I grumble about something in the world that needs to be fixed. I grumble about things I cannot deal with myself. I grumble a lot. And God continues to give me, he continues to give us that freedom. The freedom on a day-to-day basis, hour-to-hour basis, minute-to-minute basis, to decide to trust in him or not. The freedom to grumble and fail again and again and come back again and again. The freedom to make mistakes and still come back to him again and again. God leads us into freedom throughout it all. God wants and expects us to depend on him. That was what he was teaching the people of Israel. Well, one of the many things he was teaching the people of Israel was he is there to depend on. That is what he wants us to do. So he kind of expects, I'm not saying he wants us to grumble, but he kind of expects us to be grumbling. The people of Israel were led to freedom through the desert. I don't know why God chose to take them through the desert, but I think there was some learning to be done. I don't know, but I think there was. And we cannot, in our lives, expect any different. And as Psalm 23 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's some times when I like the King James Version. In our freedom, we need to depend on God, to trust in him. By moving our trust to him, by shifting our reliance away from ourselves and away from material things and the people around us and the world, we gain more freedom as we become like children, as we become his children, the children we are designed fundamentally deep down to be. God leads us into freedom. When we are struggling with sin, when we feel, which we do a lot probably nowadays, that we're losing, he does not cut us loose. He does not push us out of the door. God is there with us. We are not freed into another slavery. We're not freed into self-reliance. We don't have to do it our way. We're not freed into loneliness. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. Alec Motyer, he's one of my favorite writers, that he's an Irish biblical scholar. And he writes, and this is a new word to me, so hopefully it's a new word to you. He writes about how Exodus first shows a companionate God. A companionate God. A God who went with his people on their journey. a God who does not watch from afar, but who accompanies his people. A God who cares, listens, and guides. Put simply, a God who is with us. The people of Israel were slaves in Egypt, and God led them to freedom. He was with them through their journeys through the desert. Time after time, the people of Israel made mistakes, and time after time, God was faithful to them. He stayed with them. They grumbled to him, and time after time, he answered their grumbles. And he stayed with them. And he stays with us. He remains with us. This is the God we have. He walks with us. He listens to us. He guides us, and he answers our prayers, even the grumbles. God leads us in our freedom. Back in April, right at the beginning of the COVID experience, is that a horrible word, but I don't know how else to put it, I started walking early each morning. I swapped my very irregular gym sessions, once the gym had closed, with a very much more regular 50-minute walk, and I really enjoyed it. For the first half of my walk, every morning, I'm still doing it, I pray, I thank God, and as I explained, on many days, I grumble to him. For the second half of my walk, I put my earphones in and listen to worship music. This has been a lovely experience and has kept me relatively fit, which I'm grateful for. The song, The Blessing, by Carrie Joby and Cody Carnes, has been a favourite of mine for a couple of months now. And actually, it's actually taken off. I think it was only released in sort of March 2020, so it's very new. But if you go onto YouTube, you will see a number of versions of this song. A lot of them have been done by groups of churches all around the world. I'll try and put the link, try and get the links on the website to the YouTube links, because they are remarkable and uplifting and wonderful. And Sam sang it a bit last Sunday, and I was so pleased to hear that last Sunday. Thank you, Sam. The lyrics are properly powerful and incredibly uplifting. They are also, it's easy to see why, because they're also almost directly lifted from Scripture. There's chunks lifted from Exodus. It's just almost entirely lifted bits of blessing words from Scripture. So it's lovely. By the way, in terms of the different versions there are on YouTube, the UK churches one is wonderful, and you may see people you know. You'll certainly see churches you know about. My wife, Nanette, thinks the New Zealand one is even better. I do recommend both of them. I have to stay with the UK one. To be serious, though, they are wonderful, wonderful examples of church and worship during this COVID period. And I commend them to you. But I'm going to leave you with some of the lyrics from The Blessing that really speak to me, and I hope to you, about how much God is with us, how much he is with us, leading us into freedom. May his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you. He is for you. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen.